But the point here is, of course, in trying to demonstrate that what has gone wrong is his fault is irrelevant, because there's nobody to whom you can prove that it is his fault. There's nobody who cares about it. What's the point in trying to prove it? The only point is, what is it now going to cost me to get out of here? And is it worth that to be able to get out of here? If it is, then I'll pay it and go and get in a position where I'm no longer vulnerable to this person's mistakes, where the price will not continue to go higher. Because the longer the wrong situation is prolonged, the higher the price is inevitably going to be. The same error would apply when you become preoccupied with your own mistakes of the past. You do want to recognize the mistakes you've made in the past. Recognize where your decision-making process went wrong and make sure you're not going to repeat that mistake in the future. But once having done that, get your mind off of the irrelevant past. Don't keep concerning yourself with what things would be like if you had done differently in the past. You did what you did. Now where are you going from here? Because the reality of the situation includes everything that's past, your own life and others included. Another typical case of this would be where you try to determine whose responsibility it is to do something that has a material effect upon your well-being. Suppose you're going to take a trip, and you've decided that, all things considered, it's very necessary that you take this trip with three other people. And you're going to drive from here to Texas or Chicago or someplace like that, and you find that the man who owns the car, who is a little bit sloppy in his driving, doesn't have seat belts in the car. And you have determined that it wouldn't be a very wise decision on your part to make the trip from here to Chicago without seat belts, when it is quite likely that there would be a sudden stop or something and you could get hurt. So you speak to the owner of the car about it, and he says, well, I might get him, I'll think about it. Comes the day to make the trip, and he hasn't done anything about it. And so you implore him to get seatbelts in his car for the safety of everyone. And he says, well, why should we have seatbelts? I'm not going to have an accident. Seatbelts are only good in case of an accident. Well, the question is now, since you've determined that you're going to take this trip, should you pay for the seatbelts? It would be irrelevant to say, no, I shouldn't pay, because it's his car and it's his responsibility and we're paying him to take us, et cetera, whatever it may be. It's not his responsibility because it's your life that's at stake. He may want to make it his responsibility, but if the reality of the situation is that he doesn't want to assume the responsibility for it, now the only question to be considered is, would you be better off paying for them or not paying for them? That's all that's involved, not with, was it his responsibility or should he have done it or is he wrong not to? That is an irrelevancy, and it's an easy one to get caught in. The next one is very simple, bluffing. I'll see your million and raise you a million. If I had a million. Don't make it $2, though, because I don't have that. Now, this is merely a case of making your success dependent upon someone else believing what is not really so about you. And in this bare form, it's easily recognized as a fallacy. But suppose you're buying a car, and you have determined that you would be willing to spend $2,000 for it. How easy it might be to tell the car dealer that you will absolutely, under no circumstances, go over $1,800 for the car. And, of course, the reason you do this is because you're sure down deep inside that he really could sell the car for $1,800 if he was convinced absolutely that you wouldn't pay any more than that. But, of course, you're bluffing. And so what are you going to do when he says, I'm sorry, but I can't sell it to you for less than $2,000? Which, of course, is the figure you agreed in your own mind that you would pay for it if you had to in the first place. But now you've put yourself in an untenable position. More specifically, you have taken control of the decision out of your own hands and handed it to him. Now the decision is dependent upon whether or not he says he'll sell it for $1,800, which is actually an irrelevancy. It would be nice to get it for $1,800, be nice to get it for $1,000. But the fact of the matter is that what is relevant is that you consider it in your well-being to pay $2,000 for it, but now you will lose the opportunity to do so if it's presented to you. If he had said yes at $1,800, you'd have a deal. But if he had said no, you would have no deal, even though he might have been willing to sell it at $2,000. So the point is, you have taken the decision out of your hands and handed it to someone else by trying to make him believe something that isn't so. And this, of course, can be applied in 100 ways in various interpersonal relationships. If you don't believe that you can deal honestly with the people you have to deal with, then there's either something wrong with you, or there is something wrong with the people you're dealing with and you should look for other people to do business with. But if you feel you have to bluff continually, that you have to put up some kind of a front of this sort, then stop it for a few minutes and take a look at the situation and ask yourself how you got into such an untenable position. The next two errors are somewhat alike. First of all, thinking a consumption value is a production value. This is an error of taking a matter